I think I want the work I'm doing at the intersection of those to have people look at each of these as constructed arenas of social activity, and to understand that neither of them can be entirely distinguished from the other.
That was Professor Judith Weisenfeld talking about her work on race and religion. We're featuring her today on this episode of Religion and Race in America, Scholars Speak, a podcast written and produced by students at Smith College.
Hi, I'm Helen Bazuna.
Hi, I'm Josh A. Newman.
And I'm Catherine Booth.
We're your hosts for this episode. Our podcast investigates the ways in which religion and race have interacted in American history, and we do so by talking to some of the leading scholars in the field who have written about this subject.
Today we're talking to Judith Weisenfeld, a professor in the Department of Religion at Princeton University. Weisenfeld's work focuses on African-American religion in the early 20th century, especially the impact of urbanization and migration on Black religious life. Notable publications include New World A Coming, Black Religion and Racial Identity During the Great Migration, which was awarded the 2017 Albert J. Rabiteau Prize for the Best Book in Africana Religions, and Hollywood Be Thy Name, African American Religion in American Film, 1929 to 1949.
Professor Weisenfeld has published numerous works that focus on the intersections of religion and race and has received much praise for her work from reviewers. We asked her about who has most influenced her work on race and religion.
I would say it's this kind of old historical literature that was not explicitly about religion, but I'm thinking of texts like Winthrop Jordan's book, White Over Black. It's on American, it's called American Attitudes Towards the Negro, 1550 to 1812. When I read that book as a graduate student, it's from the late 60s, it made me think about how theologies contributed to ideas about racial categories. So the attitudes towards the Negro as a construction is sort of what I got out of that book. And George Frederickson, who's someone I read in that undergraduate course, has a couple of books that influenced me, The Black Image and the White Mind. So again, thinking about how these ideas about racial categories really take hold. And his book, White Supremacy, which is a comparative study of the US and South Africa, also does engage religious institutions. But it took a longer time for a field to develop. And I'll say one more influence, and I recognize I'm naming a bunch of guys here, but David Chittister's book, Salvation and Suicide, on Jim Jones and People's Temple in Guyana, got me to think about how more explicitly about how religions work in relation to this particular movement of People's Temple that was trying to challenge religious formulations of white supremacy. So those were in kind of early work. And then a book I like a lot now that later influenced me is Jane Iwamura's Virtual Orientalism, where she looks at how media shapes ideas about race and religion in relation to Asian religions and peoples in the United States of Asian, kind of varied Asian heritages.
We were also curious about what Professor Weisenfeld hoped to accomplish with her own scholarship on race and religion in America.
The things religious studies does is say the category of religion is also not a natural thing. That's just kind of out there. We don't just study these things that are there, but that ideas about what is religion, what's not religion, what's good religion, what's bad religion, or even what thing we're going to, pour into this pot that is religion, that's something that it depends on context and time period and who's saying it. And so, right, that's what religious studies helps us understand. And what I am interested in my work on race and religion is to put those two constructions together and think about how they interact. Just as I think I want the work I'm doing at the intersection of those, to have people look at each of these as constructed arenas of social activity, and to understand that neither of them can be entirely distinguished from the other.
We also wanted to know what new insights or understandings Professor Weisenfeld discovered about race while studying religion.
One thing I will focus on that comes out of this particular book is that is the kind of it got me thinking about the practices of race and racial identity through religious means. And so, again, I think it's easy to think about religious practice developed outside of social context, and religious studies again wants to historicize and contextualize these kinds of things, but religion helped me think about the cultures of race, I'll put it that way, as also contextual and related to those religious worlds. There are rituals related to racial expression. If we think about religion as a powerful way of forming a collectivity, it's not the only way, so it interacts with nation and with race, but that it is, it lends a religious aura of collective sense to another kind of structure that creates a collective identity, either as a externally produced or as an identity that you're having together as a group. But we think about, both race and religion as vectors for creating collective identity.
We also wanted to know what Professor Weisenfeld saw as missing from, but important for, the scholarly dialogue around the relationship between religious and racial constructions.
I think what's been missing for a long time, starting to see more, is this, I mentioned it earlier, is a move away from making race and blackness equivalent. So anyone in a racialized society is shaped by that racialized society. And, everyone in a racialized society has an ascribed racial identity. And to take seriously how religion and race come together to form other racial identities and religious identities is something that has taken a long time, I think, for the field to get to. Thinking about race as a much broader field than even just the binary, and even of black and white, and even in that binary, for a long time, only blackness had been interrogated as a racial category. Absolutely, I mean, most of my own work happens to be in African American history. But I think it's really important to understand that not only, right, that Black people are not the only people who have race in a racial society.
In New World of Coming, Black Religion and Racial Identity During the Great Migration, Professor Weisenfeld explores numerous groups that she calls religio-racial movements. However, Father Divine's peace mission movement stands out from the others in its claims to race. Father Divine claimed to be God in human form and taught his followers to reject all constructions of race, which he believed to be a creation of the devil. We asked Professor Weisenfeld how Divine's movement differed from other movements with its goals surrounding race.
As I was writing this and talking about it, people would say, but the Father Divine's peace mission doesn't fit very well because it's trying to undo race as the other ones are. The Moor Sinai Temple, the Nation of Islam, and these congregations of Ethiopian Hebrews, their claim is we've been kind of misraced. We've been forced into the wrong racial category, and divine formulation, we now know that we really are this other thing. And what Father Divine did was say that race is a creation of the devil and should not exist at all. And so to call it a racial, the term I use, a religio-racial movement, is in some ways counter to the group's own desires, its own theology, to reject race altogether, so not to move from the wrong race to the right race. So it's different in that sense. What I tried to think through was the problem of how you do that in a racialized society. So can you get out of race? Can you opt out of race in a system that is so racialized? And on those grounds, I include the group, even though their move is different from the other. And so one of the things people often ask me in the two of the strategies the peace mission movement tried to use to try and undo race. One was to not use racial language, as was the racial language of the day, but instead describe people's complexions, light complected, dark complected, and to use that practice of the visual practice or the maybe a ritual practice of pairing light complected and dark complected people, like sitting, alternating in their dining room. And people would always ask me, well, isn't that actually calling attention to race when you do that, rather than rejecting it? So wouldn't you rather just ignore it? Shouldn't they just ignore it rather than continuing to use certain kinds of languages or practices? And I don't know, I just thought it just raises the problem of how hard it is to undo race amidst a highly racialized society. And so on those grounds, it was both different, but obviously engaging the same kinds of theological and social problems that the other groups were.
With all of the extensive research and experience gained from studying Black religion during the Great Migration, we also wanted to know Professor Weisenfeld's stance on the development of these groups and how she figured out what was important enough to include in her writing.
Well, I've long been interested in these groups and in how they reveal something about Black religious responses to urbanization and migration. Many, many, many years after my undergraduate introduction, I've been teaching about these groups for many years. And I just was interested in the question of race as another component. How did race function in these groups? And I was interested in groups where they made a racial claim, right? They made this claim of either you're the wrong race and God has revealed through whatever means that we really should understand ourselves collectively in this different way. And the collective nature, so that these are people who are making a claim about some kind of new, what I came to call religio-racial formation for Black people.
Finally, we just wanted to hear about what the professor was currently working on, her next project.
In the chapter where I'm first introducing Father Divine's peace mission, I write about how psychiatrists in New York were really interested in trying to evaluate why people were joining this group and what being in the group did to them in terms of their mental health. So there are those couple of published studies by psychiatrists in New York with titles like Psychoses Among Followers of Father Divine. And there were several of them published in the 1930s. And I, separate from the details they gave about particular people in the movement and what was going on with them in mental hospitals in New York, there was a discussion in these articles about that assumed a kind of general understanding about among these psychiatrists about something that was, they had some assumptions about race, religion, and African-American religions that framed the rest of the stuff they were writing about, the specific cases. And I just started to wonder, like, where did those assumptions come from? Because they were building on this idea that African-American Black religions created some kind of mental disposition among Black people. And so what I'm working on now is trying to figure that out So it's a book about how early psychiatry in America from the late 19th century through about the period of Father Divine's, maybe through the late 30s, how these white psychiatrists created theories about Black mental normalcy or abnormalcy around ideas about Black religions. And these are, you know, practices like conjure and holiness and Pentecostal revivalism, and they're really interested in all of these religious practices as saying something about a kind of, you know, it's a racist theoretical frame that there's some kind of natural attitude of Black people's minds, and religion, in their view, Black religion both helps to produce or kind of create mental abnormal states, mentally abnormal states, and also is the kind of sign of it. So it's a complicated cluster of theories I'm trying to figure out, and I'm doing research in archives of mental hospitals looking at cases from the late 19th century. It's very fascinating and difficult.
In our interview, we learned about Professor Weisenfeld's beginnings in the field of religion and her thoughts on the reality of race and religion being intertwined concepts. She gave us a glimpse into the early works that inspired her to explore religion and race, explained the importance of understanding that racial conceptions go beyond Blackness, and clarified why Father Divine's Peace Mission movement can be considered a religio-racial group. We're looking forward to seeing Professor Weisenfeld's future work on how early psychiatrists in America attempted to define Black mental normalcy and abnormalcy, and definitely think it'll widen the scope of our knowledge about religion and race. In our next episode, we'll talk with Sarah Imhoff and investigate her ideas about race and religion in America.
That concludes our episode for today. Special thanks to Judith Weisenfeld. Also thanks to Dan Bennett, Travis Grandy, and Yasmin Eisenhower of the Smith Learning Research and Technology team. And thanks to the Andrew Mellon Foundation that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Religion and Race in America, Scholars Speak.